So I want to ask us this night, what time is it? What time is it? Understanding of the time we live will help us to prepare adequately. When we understand the time in which we live, it will help us to prepare adequately. And that takes me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 32. You know, the Bible talks about the children of Issachar that are men and that have the understanding of the time, and that they know what Israel ought to do. They have the understanding of the time, and then they know what Israel ought to do. Let me read it from the Living Bible. We don't have it on the screen, but you can just listen. So from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the temper of the time. I love this. And they knew the best course that Israel should take. They understood the temper, the mold, the mindset, the general condition of the period, the temper of the time, the mode of the time. They understand the structure, how the time is, and they know the best course that Israel should take. So these men were spiritually and strategically insightful. They don't just know facts. They knew what to do in the light of those facts. So they didn't just know facts. They didn't just know the time. They know the exact thing to do in response to the time. And I'm trusting God for three things in this conference. Number one, that God will give us a clear understanding of the time in which we live. A clear understanding. That it will be so clear like water, that nobody lives here without understanding what the time is. A deep, sound knowledge of the last days and what it truly means. That's number one. Number two, and to make us know what to do. So it's not just to have the understanding of that time, but to have a clear picture of what we are supposed to do. Are you with me? Yeah. A clear picture of what I'm supposed to do with regards to my understanding of time. I remember the first time I traveled out of the country. I went to Kenya. When I got there, in fact, when I got there, I was told that, you can't, the things you have brought, the clothes, these clothes can't survive here. So I had to get me sauce, not this kind of small sauce, thick one. They got me gloves, cap. My room, there is no AC, there is no fan. But you can't survive without having those things. You know the problem? I didn't have the understanding of the season. So I wasn't prepared adequately. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, if somebody tells you that place, the where you are going is a time of winter, and then you still pack clothes that cannot help you in that season, then it does not show that you understand the season, the time. Are you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. So if we say we have understanding of the time and does not impact our work, it does not impact what we do, then we don't truly understand the time. So the second thing I'm trusting God to do is to help us to know what we ought to do. The children of Issachar that are men that have the understanding of the time, and they know what Israel ought to do. They understand the temper. And that the tough thing is what Pastor Tony touched on, that the Holy Spirit will release this grace and strength for us to actually do those things. Because it's not just enough to know what to do. We need to do it. We need strength. You know, at times the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The flesh is weak. That God will grant us strength. We infuse into us strength to do exactly what is required of us to do at this time. And so what I'm trying to do is to provide a direction for this conference. And this is what we have been praying for. This is what we have been trusting God for. That as we live here tomorrow, that every one of us, we understand the time. Not just in times of, okay, we know it's the last day. No, you understand it. And then you will know what you are supposed to do. And then you will receive grace to do it in the name of Jesus. So the theme of this conference is in the last days. And in order to gain a clearer understanding of these last days, I would like to present a virtual illustration that will help us to understand the last days. I told the media to help me get that. And thank God for my son. As I was studying, I feel I should put this in a graphic sense. So I drew it on my paper, sent it to him. He wanted to use AI, but AI wasn't giving us desired results. So I told him to just design it manually. And so he did it for me. Yeah. So I want us to look at what is on the screen. Yeah. Can you see that? So I'm going to use this to illustrate what we are talking about so that we can have a better understanding. There are categories of ages, period, that the Bible uses in scriptures, that is used in scriptures. Number one, we have before ages. Before ages. And let's look at scriptures so that we can understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So we have before ages. If you read the same scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The same thing, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So we have before ages. Right? So this was before time. And then after that, we have the creation age. That was when God said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So that was the period that God created the heaven and the earth. And then after that, we have what we call the present age. Now, the present age started from the fall of Adam. Because the age in the time of creation is not the same age in the time from the fall of Adam. In the time of creation, there was no sin in the world. But the moment man sinned against God, what happened? Sin entered into the world and the devil started reigning over the world. In the creation age, there was no devil reigning. Hello, are we together? Yeah. There was no devil reigning. Sin was not in the world. But the moment man disobeyed God, what happened? The Bible says sin entered into the world and then devil gained access. And if you read the temptation of Jesus Christ, devil himself told Jesus, he said, all these things, all this glory I will give to you because it was delivered to me. Who delivered it to him? As a result of the sin of Adam. Uh-huh. So he didn't have that power. So at that point, we had what we called the present age. And that present age spanned between that time to what we have today. Now, if you check in between the present, we have what we call the previous ages. The previous ages. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 5. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 5. It says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons. This is Paul talking. And he was saying that the revelation that Jesus had given him It was not known in the other ages. If you check NLT, say the previous ages. Are we together? Now, the previous age he's talking about is the age of the Moses, the prophet. The mystery of God reaching out to the Gentile was not known to them. They saw it. They couldn't understand it clearly. And so he said, which in other ages, previous ages, was not known to the sons of men, as it would not be revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. It is now revealed. Then it was not revealed, but now it is revealed. So what was not revealed in the previous ages is now revealed, right? In time, in this time. So Paul was speaking. And then after that we have what we call, I will come back to the middle one. Then we have after the present age, the present age, that's what we have now. That's what we have now. Let's look at scriptures to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Titus chapter 2. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, verse 12, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. In this present age. And I told us that the present age started from the fall of Adam, or the fall of man. So we are living, this age in which we are living is called the present age. Are we together? Yeah. And then, at one point in this present age, at a point in this present age, that's when we have the last days. Are we together? And then the last days started at the coming of Christ, the first coming of Christ. Huh? So let's establish that. You know, I said, I'm trusting God so that he'll give us understanding of what we are dealing with. So that every one of us have understanding of this last day. Nobody is confused. So let's find out. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1 to 2. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1 to 2. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in time past. Remember, previous time. In time past to the fathers by the prophet. As in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. Right? As in these last days, spoken to us by who? By Son. In these last days. So, the moment Christ came into the scene, we have the beginning of the last day. So, the last day started when Christ came in. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 24. You know, because, you know, at times people say things like this, that, but how come that you are saying last day, but how come that last day, yeah, because at times we don't know when it started, and then we don't know when it's going to end, so we need to have the understanding. Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, not to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered the holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to do what? To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, so when did it appear? At the end of the age. So the last day is also called the end of the ages. The end of the ages. Are we together? So Bible says Jesus appeared. No, this is not the second, this is first coming. So he came to do what? to put an end. He came to do what? He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So when Christ appeared to bring salvation for us, the Bible said that appearance was at the end of the ages. Is that clear? One more scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 18 to 20. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but look at that, but was manifested in these last times for you. Christ was manifested in this last time for you. Hello? Let me read from the Message Bible. It said, he paid, verse 19, he paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was not afterthought. I love this. Even though it has all lasted at the end of the ages, become public knowledge. God always knew what he was going to do this for you. So Jesus appeared at the end of the ages. So what do we have? So we have the present age, and in between that present age that is still going on, we have the Christ coming, the coming of Christ. And that started the last day. And that last day will continue till when he comes back. The second coming of Christ will bring an end to the last days. And then what we'll have age to come. You see scriptures that establish that. I think with this picture, you can just go and look for scripture yourself. But I have them all here. Yeah. You know, when Peter was talking about, what are you going to give us after serving you? He just told them, you have 100-fold brothers and sisters, and also in the age to come. So there is an age to come. Okay? Now let's read Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20 from verse 34 to 36. Luke chapter 20 from verse 34 to 36. You know, they came to Jesus, the Sadducee who doesn't believe in resurrection. They wanted to test him. That if someone get married and the husband died, and then it's believed that the brother of the husband should take over. If that continue, and then the seventh person comes, at the resurrection, who will be the woman's husband? So Jesus answered and said to them, Luke 20 verse 34. Jesus answered and said to them, The sons of this age. Which age is this age? Which age is he talking about? He said the sons of this age. What is this age? The present age. The present age. Okay? The sons of this age are given in marriage. Verse 35. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age. So there is this age. There is that age. And then it defines what that age is. Look at the next verse. And the resurrection of the dead. So that age is the resurrection of the dead. Are we together? Yeah. No, it's not every time that hand means, this hand doesn't mean that age and. Are you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. This hand is defining what that is. If you read it from other translation, it will be clear. Okay? So, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age. So there is this, it said in this age, people get married. But in that age, at the resurrection, there is no marriage. So if you are thinking of carrying your wife to immortality, there's nothing like that. So do what you need to do here on earth. Let's read it from the Message Bible. That's Luke chapter 20, from verse 34. Luke 20 from verse 34, the Message Bible. Jesus said, marriage is a major preoccupation here. That is here, this age. But not there. Those who are included in the resurrection of the dead will no longer be concerned with marriage. Not only marriage, even death. In that age, there is no death. Hello? In that age, there is no sickness. In that age, there is no trouble. There is no sorrow. That age. Are we together? So, that age is the age that Pastor Tunji started talking about, the kingdom age. We'll have a foretaste of that here on earth. But the big one comes that time when Christ comes. And that's our hope. And that's why we are talking about Immortality Readiness Conference. And it's not something to dread. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to look forward to. Because it's going to be a glorious time. It's a time of reward of all our labor here on earth. And that is why we are challenging ourselves to pay whatever price it will take to find ourselves in that age. Hello? Hello? So there is that age. And then after that age, that is called millennial reign of Christ. And then we'll have the ageless forever and ever. At that time, there's no age. It's eternity with our Lord and Master. Are we together? Are we together? So listen to this. We have the present age. Are we here? Huh? So we have what? The present age. And around this present age, the period in which we live in the present age is called the last days. Hello? There is a present age that started from the fall of man. Huh? And when Christ came into sin to bring salvation, that brought what we call the last days. So the last day started when Christ came into sin. And that will continue until his second coming. Listen to this carefully. Jesus says something here. In that Luke, chapter 20, verse 35. He said, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age. Those who are what? Counted worthy to attain that age. Meaning that that age is for those who are counted worthy. I'll deal with that if I have time tomorrow. Because it's not for just anybody. And it's something I wrote down. I said, you can't be counted worthy if you are not walking worthy of that place. Huh? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 says, we should walk worthy of the vocation in which we have been called. If we have been brought into the kingdom, then we have to walk worthy of that kingdom. And it is those who are walking worthy of the kingdom, of the calling, what we have been called, that we will be worthy to obtain that age. But that's not my issue this night. So listen to this. I wrote this down. So if there is an age to come, then it means that this present age has an expiring date. Hello? So if there is an age to come, then it means that this present age has a what? An expiring date. Not only that. Where we read in Titus told us that there is a way to behave in this present age that has overlapped into what? The last days. Huh? Titus chapter 2 verse 11. He said the grace that brings salvation as what? Has appeared to all men. And this grace does what? Teaches us to do what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. That we should live out soberly, righteously, ungodly where? In this present age. Now, what time are we in this present age? Yeah, the last days. Are we together? Yeah. So what time are we in this present age? The last days. And there is a way to walk in these last days. There is a way to live in these last days. Because the way we live is very important, because it will determine how we are going to fare in that age that is to come. Hello? My brethren, it calls for carefulness. It is not a time to live carelessly. This is not a time. But when I see believers living carelessly, it's because we don't understand the time. He said the children of Issachar, they understood the temper of the time, and they know the best course that Israel should take. So it's a period that calls for carefulness. So the last days is also called the latter times. The scripture that Pastor Tunji quoted, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It said, now the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter times is the same thing. The last days is also what we call the last hour. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, use the word the last hour is the same thing. Jude 1, 18, use the word last time is the same thing. So we have said when the last day started. And we have talked about when it's going to end. Listen to this. These last days or this present call for discernment. We are living in the days in which the present age is rounding up. That is why the way we live is very important. Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. You know, it said in verse 1, it talks about all our fathers, how all had from the same spiritual food, all drank from the same spiritual drink, all passed through Moses, all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud, all. But at the point in verse 5, it said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. And then he began to highlight the things that they did that God wasn't pleased with. And the question I want to ask is this. For me, because at times we mistake the blessings of God for God's approval. How can you be blessing a generation of people for 40 years? The Bible says he was angry with them. But yet he was blessing them. Huh? Have you read that in your Bible? God was angry with them for 40 years, but he never stopped blessing them. With food? Huh? The Bible said their clothes didn't worn out. Their shoe. In fact, the Bible said there was no sick person among them. But God himself said in Hebrew that he was angry with that generation for 40 years, and God destroyed all of them except two. Huh? The generation that came out of Egypt, they were all killed in the wilderness. Save their children from 20 downward. But from 20 upward, all of them died. Only two, Caleb and Joshua, made it to the promised land. Are we here? Because I'm seeing a generation of people who are so, you know, we can't differentiate between privileges from purpose. We mistake the privileges of God as God's approval for our life. And then we camp around privileges. We do program. We build vision, ministry around privileges. And yet we miss purpose. But look at what the Bible says. He said, but with many of them, God was nowhere pleased. Then he said in verse 11, he said, all these things happened to them. For what? For examples. And they were what? Documented, written down. For what? Admonition to instructors. Look at this. Upon whom the hands of the ages have come. Huh? Now, do you understand the import of that statement? These things were written for us. That we don't mess up the way they messed up. That we don't murmur the way they murmur and they were destroyed. We cannot afford to do that because we are the generation living at the last days. We are a privileged generation. At the same time, we are a generation that they have to be very careful. Delicate generation. Delicate generation. Let me have that scripture from the Message Bible. That verse 11. Verse 11 from the Message Bible. He said, these are what? What is this? As in their life, the way they live their life. He said, these are all warning markers. Danger. In our history books. Written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our position in the story are parallel. They had the beginning. Remember, these are the previous generation that we talked about. They at the beginning. Look at, we had the end. We are the last day. Paul is saying we, because that was before Christ came. We at the end. And we are just as capable of messing things up as they were. We are just as capable as messing things up as they were. Huh? Meaning that if we do the same thing that they did, we'll likely be destroyed the way they were destroyed. Because if that would not happen, there is no need for warning. Are we together? Are we together? There won't be any need to warn us. Look at the next verse. I didn't read that verse. That's why he now said, therefore. From King James, he said, therefore, let him that think he stands take heed, lest he fall. Therefore. Therefore, it means as a result of what has been written, as a result of us living at the last day, therefore, as a result of this, let those of us who think we are standing take heed. Be careful lest we fall. So it means we can fall if we are not careful. That's what it means. Hello? Now, the falling here doesn't mean falling as in fall. The falling here means to stray away from the faith. That's what it means. That's what it means. And so because there is that tendency to stray away from faith, then those of us who think we are standing, we have to be very careful. That's what I'm saying. There's a way to live in these last days. He said, take heed. And when Jesus was asked about the last days, the signs of his coming, the end of the age, the first thing he mentioned in verse 4, Matthew 24, verse 4, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. Friends, who is talking? Jesus, our master. He said, take heed, be careful that no man deceive you. Why is he telling us to be careful? Verse 5, he said, for many will come in my name, and they shall deceive many. Look at that. Many will come in my name, being anointed, and will deceive many. Is that not the same thing we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4? He said, now the Spirit speak expressly, clearly, that the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Not faith, the definite article. The faith. So meaning that they were departing from the original faith, not counterfeit. They departed. They would depart from the original faith, not counterfeit. Listen, you cannot depart from what you're not part of. So for them to depart from the faith means that they were in faith. But listen to this carefully. Jesus said it, that some will be deceived. Paul mentioned it. But look at something he said. How would they be deceived? How would they depart from the faith? He said they will give it to seducing spirit. And what? Doctrines of demons. Hello? I have 9 more minutes. Now listen carefully. When Paul says the spirit speak expressly, so it means that it's a prophecy. Huh? No prayer can reverse it. It will happen. It is bound to happen. God can't be a liar. So if it's something that is bound to happen, huh? Right? And then it will happen to those who are believers. Are we together? Huh? So we mean that it can happen to anybody. Huh? So for it not to happen to you, that's why it was written to warn us. And so, sir, if what will make people to depart from the faith is that they will give heed to seducing spirit and doctrine of demons, then we need to find out what is doctrine of demons. Because if you think that doctrine of demon means you will see one devil with hole on his head preaching, then you have missed it. So let me close by that, and I'll pick it up from here tomorrow. What is doctrine of demons? Because that is how people would depart from the faith. Huh? What is doctrine of demons? What is doctrine of demons? Huh? Friends, and I can tell you, there are a lot of doctrine of demons going out there. The one is what Pastor Tunji mentioned. That's doctrine of demons. Now, if you read that 1 Timothy chapter 4, let me give you an idea of doctrine of demons. That 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you read it down, he said they will have their conscience sealed with hot iron, right? He said, forbidding to marry. Eh? And then what? Abstaining from what is commanded. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with what? With thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And look at this. He said, these people will forbid people to marry. And they will command people to restrain from food that they're supposed to receive. Meaning this, forbid people to marry. God commanded people to marry. But they will forbid people from marrying. God said people should eat and receive it with good, with what? With thanksgiving. But they will say, no, don't do that. So any doctrine that contradicts Jesus is a false doctrine. That's doctrine of demons. Any doctrine that contradicts Jesus, that's doctrine of demons. Huh? Hello? And you know the first man that preached that doctrine? Huh? That doctrine has been from ages, right from Genesis chapter 3. Huh? Satan himself preached that doctrine to serpent. God gave an instruction. What was the word of God? You can eat every tree in the garden. Huh? Except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what? That's God's doctrine. Doctrine given to man that he created by himself. You are free. I have given you every tree. You are free to eat everything except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's God's doctrine. The serpent came, Satan came, spoke to the serpent and distorts God's word. You will not surely die. That God knows that the day you eat it, you shall be like God. What is that? Saying something contrary to what God has said. Hello? So when you hear a man that says something contrary to scripture, that is the doctrine of demons. Huh? But you know our problem? Our problem that we don't listen to what they say. We judge what they say because of their status. So if this man has been there for a long time, they have the result, then does it matter what they say? It is right. And listen, the Bible says, listen, you can't be wiser than the Bible. The Bible says once you keep giving heed to doctrine of demons, you depart from faith. Huh? Pastor Bjorn? Let me close. I have 4 more minutes. 1 Timothy 6:1-3. This thing has to be clear. This thing has to be what? Has to be clear. I was at the ICMs when Pastor was. I said, at time you get to a particular, but just carry your Bible and leave. Because of the things you are hearing. Friends, Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the issue of life. What you listen to form what you believe. And what you believe becomes how you behave. If you keep listening to wrong thing, you become wrong thing yourself. So 1 Timothy 6:1. Let as many bond servants as are under the yoke of count their home master worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine not be what? Blasphemed. Verse 2. And those who have believing master, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and what? And exhort these things. Teach these things. That means these are the right doctrine. Huh? Servants should submit to their master. They shouldn't treat their master anymore because their master is a believer. The verse 3. Look at. You know, he said, teach and what? Teach this thing I've said and what? Exhort the people. Look at verse 3. He said, but if anyone teaches otherwise, that is contrary to this I told you to teach. If anyone teach otherwise and does not what? Consent to what? Awesome word. What is awesome word? Sound word. Sound doctrine. Even the works of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is sound doctrine? The works of our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? And to the doctrine which accord with what? Godliness. Now, the question is, the doctrine you are listening to, does it promote godly living? This has to detect if what you are hearing. Huh? Does it promote godly living? Does it promote godly living? Wholesome words. Sound words. I'm going to show you. We'll continue from here tomorrow by God's grace. God helping us. Huh? So that it will be clear. Because friends, the truth is, there's no two way to these things. You must be careful what you hear. You know, Jesus Christ said it. He said, take heed what you hear. And he also said, take heed how you hear. Luke 8:18. Take heed how you hear. Take it what you hear. Because what you hear can either destroy you or make you. And so if people will depart from faith as a result of doctrine, can I have the choir, please? Let's sing our hymn as we invite Pastor Simeon Afolabi. So if people will do what? Would depart from faith as a result of the doctrine that they listen to, that it means I have to be careful. I have to understand, how do I detect false doctrine? Because the doctrine that is not of God will cause you to depart from faith. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Those three things that we talked about. Let's ask Him to help us. Clear. That it will be clear.